Style Studio Show, we do recover.
Hey.
Today we're going to do a panel. Feel free to call in 330-595-1600.
Guess what? If you call in, you can guess the number that's on this safe.
Three digit code.
Guess what's in the safe? $700 cash.
And AirPods.
AirPod Pros.
Pros.
What's that cost, Brand?
300.
Whoa. That's like a stack in
that's,
here.
That's, yeah.
So you need to call in to guess the code. No, you cannot type your code on here. No, we aren't doing that. So call in. We gave you the number. We'll give it to you again. And you can guess the code.
Yeah. Today, we're really excited. I have one of my really good friends, Scott Porter, with us today. And we also have...
We have Brannigan Long.
Yeah. So we're going to dive right into it. Scott, I know why. But what started your drug use, and what age did you start at?
When I was 13, my mom was murdered, and it led to a road of addiction.
Wow. Deep. How long did you use for?
From 13 up until about a year ago.
Wow. And what happened a year ago?
I got in some trouble, went to Meridian for treatment, and then... Went to sober living after that, stayed in sober living for a year and a half, and just moved out into my own place.
Nice, very nice. So, I understand that you celebrated something last week. What was that?
A year clean.
Hey!
A year clean. And usually I give this away. So, I ordered you a coin, and this is your one-year medallion. So, here you go. Congratulations.
Hey.
Love you, dog.
Love you, too.
Yeah, we Aww. Do recover. We got a year clean.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, and this is my friend Brannigan. And, Brannigan, how long clean do you have?
I have 4.5 years on the 9th.
Dang! Come on now!
We out here recovering.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you use for?
I don't know. 9 years.
9 years.
Pride.
Yeah, nice.
9 years.
Wow. She said
in and out. On and off. I was in and out of jail and stuff, but...
What made you get clean?
Kept going to jail, and then they put me into treatment this last time, and I got pregnant with my daughter, so I've been clean since then.
Yeah. How did you get clean? What programs, what did you utilize?
I went through treatment at Breaking Point November 2016. And I've been working NA programs since then.
Nice. Very good. Very good. So what we're going to do...
Yeah, so earlier today I posted on my Facebook and I asked people what are some questions that they would want answered. If you could ask any questions to an addict, what would it be? And we had quite a few.
We had quite a few people dropping some stuff, y'all. This is about to get juicy.
Yeah, so we're going to toss these questions around to us. We'll take turns answering some of these questions. And feel free, like I said, to call in if anybody out there wants to win this money or just ask a question that you want to want answered. And we'll answer to the best of our abilities. We do have quite a bit of clean time sitting here.
Yeah.
I think we've got about 15 years between all of us. So we should be able to answer your question. And if we don't, we can have callers come in and we'll get you can answer the questions soon.
And you can call in whenever you want.
330-595-1600. Yeah.
All right. So let's let's just kick this off. And I'm going to look through here and see. Do you see yourself staying sober for the rest of your life, Scotty?
Facts.
Boo, boo, doo. We need like that.
Yeah.
Like the hot seat.
That's what we need. So you see yourself staying sober for the rest of your life. What are you going to implement? What do you plan on doing as far as making that happen?
Continuing to work a program to the best of my ability. Working on going and getting visitation of my son back, so that's a big motivator for me.
Come on.
And working in recovery.
Yeah.
So, and I've came too far to turn around.
Yeah, let's go.
Nice.
It's good.
Nice.
Brannigan, let's ask you a question here. Let me find a good one for you. here we see. Missy asked a question. Once you're clean, why go back and start all over again?
Well, I haven't. So I don't know why I would. I'm not going to.
Right. But, I mean, so when you first said that you'd been in and out, in and out of jail, like, so you know how we get those clean times in jail? We get those 30, 60 days. We think we're good. And why did we go out and ruin those days For what? Like, that's...
Well, I didn't know anything better then. And I did go to treatment one time before I got clean this time. And when I got out, I didn't know how to work a program. I didn't know what working a program was. I thought it was just like go to meetings and act crazy. And so it took a long time. And hearing people say over and over, like, if you didn't have anything under your belt, you didn't relapse. Like, you just had time, like, abstinent time, you know. But, yeah.
I think so, too, that sometimes people start believing the lie of, like, well, am I really an addict?
Yeah.
Like, would I really have stayed clean this long if I was truly an addict? Or we like start removing ourselves from what's working because we're like, I don't need to do all this. Right. I don't have to keep showing up. I don't have to keep doing X, Y, and Z. I'm good. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm recovering over here. And so then we take a step back. And then when the disease starts talking to you, you're like, you know what? I'm going to go have a drink. I deserve that. You're right. I earned it.
Yeah.
So, and I just think that that happens too with removing yourself from what's working, because what I was always told is if it's working, you keep doing that. Because it's working. But as addicts, a lot of times we want to like throw a wrench in there and we're like, let's see let's mix it up a little bit and see if we can get it crazy going. And I'll just throw this in there and then we'll just see what happens, you know?
And I think a lot of it is when you come in and you first get clean, okay, we're clean, now what? Like, I feel like a lot of us have to find what's our why.
Mm.
Why do we want to stay clean? Is it our kids? Is it our own health? Why? Everybody has to find their why in order to continue with what they want to do in life. And I really feel that because there's a lot of people that, I work at a treatment center and a lot of people come in and they're like, okay, I have a week clean now. I'm good. What's the point in even being clean? It's not fun. It's not because they don't have the why. They don't have that drive, the motivation to keep them clean. So you really got to find your why. Like, why do I want to be clean? Why do I want to be a member of society and normal? Like, why? Like, you know what I mean? And once you find that, it really can slingshot you into a way better life. Like, so you have a drive, a motivation to reach your goals.
Yeah, and I don't think people think it's going to go back to the way that it was, because we get the lie that I'll just control it. I'll just do it on Saturdays. That's it. I'm going to do it on Saturdays and that's it. But like for addicts, when you turn the switch, that's it.
Yeah.
The switch is now on. There is no turning it back off. It just like continues to go.
Right. I got another question for Scotty. Scotty, why couldn't you stop?
It wasn't about I couldn't. I didn't want to.
Mm. Yeah.
Until things got bad enough.
Yeah.
But I never really wanted to stop. Even like the last time when I got put into treatment, I was basically forced to stop. And then things just got better that made me not want to go back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, I had to suffer severe consequences in order for me to stop. Otherwise, on my own self-will, I didn't want to stop. It took obviously going to prison, losing everything for me to be like, wow, okay, maybe I am an addict. Maybe this is a rock bottom. And to come out from that, I was like, wow, life got so much better. It was like, why would you want to go back?
Mm-hmm. And then when you start, like, taking things for granted and you're not grateful and your whole attitude and stuff changes, then you'll notice people start stepping back from everything that was working.
Yeah.
So, Jed, and this goes to, we were, like, talking about this, but this is for, like, the after.
It's so weird you hear calling my name Jed. Usually it's like, baby or husband. You know, Jed. Yes, Allison.
Jedediah, Samantha would like to know, what can I do to better understand what you are going through? So what I'm assuming is this is after, when you're in recovery, because for family members, they have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on, what you're talking about. You know, we get this, like, recovery foreign language to the rest of the world.
Right, so. And that's why it's hard, because, you know, you have to have your people in recovery and your family. It's separate, right? Because not... people who don't use and they're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have my support group of people that are doing things that I need to do to stay clean. And that's my support group. And my family who, like, obviously they're my support group, but they just don't get it. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's why I kind of keep them separate. And it is hard to explain. Like, I'm driven by a drug that I can't put down, that I'm going to get, I mean, you try to tell them, oh, well, I'm going to get sick, and that's why I kept using, but it goes deeper than that. We always say drugs wasn't our problem. Drugs is our solution to a deeper problem. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's hard to explain to people who don't use, because they don't get it, and they never will. So I'm not telling you to go out there and use, and you'll get what the addicts are going to go through. Right. But at the same time, it takes patience, and, man, you may never get it. You may never get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Brannigan, somebody, Stephen, had asked, do you promote a halfway house for addicts who are just coming out of an inpatient drug facility?
Do I promote one?
Well, would you recommend it?
Would I recommend them to go to sober living?
Mm-hmm. After treatment.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 And why?
It's what worked for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah, it worked for me, too. I went to the same one both times, and before I went there, like, I didn't know how to clean a house. I didn't know how to take care of my kid, like, none of that stuff. And the women there showed me, like, how to do laundry, how to keep a house clean, held me accountable. There were a few times that I was like, you know what, I'm just going to leave and get high. Like, this is just what I do. This isn't working for me. And they, like, literally made me stay there, you know? Yeah. So, like, in those first few months, being, like, I live alone now with my kid, and if I had just come out of treatment and went back to my house, like, sitting there alone, even with years clean, sitting alone sometimes, like, my mind, like Allie was talking about, tells me, like, I deserve a drink, or I deserve to smoke or something, you know? So, yeah, sober living. Definitely.
Sober living for the win.
Yeah, it gives you the more clean time to get that clarity back. Right. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. 30, 60 days is not long enough to start thinking clear again.
Yeah.
You know, we say, you know, 90 days you're feeling a little cocky because you do think you're starting to get that clarity. But, like, even after that, it's a while. What about you, Scotty?
How'd that work for you, Scotty?
The structure is what helped me the most, I think. And I was afraid to go back to my hometown where I'm from. That new in recovery, because I definitely wouldn't have made it.
And so, so now you are back in your hometown. You now with the year clean, and I'm
look
not going
to. I'm not going to co-sign on Scotty's face.
I'm not going to co-sign on that, even though Scotty wanted me to co-sign. How is it now being back in your hometown, living in your hometown, where you used to use, pick up your charges, and you know who to call when you want it? How is that being back there?
I mean, I haven't had no issues. I work consistently and spend time with my girlfriend and her daughter. And if something does come about, I have the support group now that I can call and reach out to.
You, like, build a foundation before you went and did it.
Yeah.
And I think, too, what you said, Brannigan, is, like, it's a, you know, while you're in there, you have, like, a support system that you don't even know that you have.
Right.
So you have all these people watching you, talking to you on a daily basis, talking you off the ledge. And if you're at home by yourself and you're not in this structured environment, you don't have that. So if you don't pick up the phone to call somebody, it's just you and your thoughts.
Yeah.
And like you said, when your disease is saying, just leave, because that's what I do and I want to get high, there's nobody to talk you off the ledge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, I feel like it betters people's chances. And I think it's, like, unanimous across the board that we're all in favor of you should do that, because it just betters your chances.
Yeah.
Gives you
So I have a question for Allison.
Yes, husband.
So, my sister-in-law, so Nicole asked this question.
She's
when will
my
you
sister-in-law.
When will you stop hurting your family? Why can't you think about anyone but yourself?
Well, so when we're using, we're completely self-centered, and that is actually the core of the entire disease, is being self-centered, and it's what I want, when I want, how I want it. And the way that it affects everyone else is irrelevant to me at the time. You know, it's not that I want to do it. It's not that I want to hurt people. It's not that my intention is I can't wait to hurt this person, but it's all in the name of the next one. So whatever it takes to get it, that's what I'm going to do. However I have to get it, that's what I'm willing to do, because I don't think on my own anymore. The disease is saying, we're going to get up, we're going to march, we're going to do it like this. And I say, yes, sir. So, like, I'm under, like, slave, you know, enslavement to the drug, to the next one. And it isn't, and I think so many family members take it so personal that, like, they weren't enough and they couldn't help and they couldn't stop you. And but it literally doesn't matter, because you could love me like more than anything and show it and try to support me and stuff, but if I'm using, that's irrelevant. I don't care. You know what I mean? It's not going to stop me. So,
yeah.
What do you think?
I think that was a great answer. Yeah, I'm already lined up. I'm lined up.
You bing, bing, bing.
Clip is in the gun.
Nobody wants to call in and get this, because Brannigan's going to pick up her phone and call in.
Right.
While we're sitting here.
330-595-1600. Call in with a 3-digit code with a question. We'd love to hear from you. Brannigan, I got a question for you next from Sean Russell. When is enough enough, and what's one thing that keeps you strong today?
He gave you two.
Right, that's a double sided flip coin.
When is enough using enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's
it
okay,
enough?
Okay. So this, maybe my answer's wrong, but throughout the years that I've been clean, it's been like one of the things that's came up in my step work, listening to people in meetings. But I've heard people say, like, if you're not willing when you get here, you're not gonna stay clean. And I've never gone to treatment willingly. I never went to meetings willingly. Like, I went to treatment from jail every time. And I think that, and it's just for me, you know, my family, all of my family uses. I didn't really have, like, my mom around and stuff. I got pregnant immediately after treatment, like, immediately. And I, even throughout my pregnancy with her, I thought about using, and I didn't do it just because I didn't want people to talk about me. That's why I didn't do it. But, you know, after having her and, like, reflecting back on me as a kid, like, the baby with no say in the matter, I just, like, couldn't do that to my daughter, you know?
Yeah.
So when she was born, a month later, I got a year clean. So I had her 11 months clean. And so that was, like, enough for me right there, like, you know,
you just want to provide more for your kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I was using All Bets Are Off, she would have been
right
somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's not your why. That's your
She's
drive.
Why.
Yeah.
See, a blessing.
So, like,
no, wait, you said the second part.
Oh,
what keeps you strong?
What keeps you strong today?
Lily and like, the life that I've built for myself, like, I've worked really hard to get where I'm at. It seems like lately, I feel like it's like the devil is attacking me, like, telling me that I didn't do this for myself and that somebody else has done it for me and whatever. But, like, I know where I came from. I know what I went through. I know that, like, I work with Allie. We have, like, this sweet job that I didn't think... I still don't think that I deserve it, but, like, I'm there. It's mine. I do it. My kid, she's sweet, you know? And so, like, I don't know. When they say if you make a list of the things you want, when you get here, like, what you end up with, it's really unbelievable. I do get ungrateful sometimes and forget. Like,
yeah, we take things for granted,
yeah,
for sure.
And you do. She kills it at work. And I've seen Brannigan in the process gain stuff and go from, like, being in a sober living house to being in, like, I don't know if we call it an apartment, but it was a house. But it was just a little something that she was running. Now she's owning her own home.
Yeah.
So, like, I get to see people, like, do that. And I work with her, so I get to see her on a daily basis. And, you know, it's absolutely, like, amazing when you get to see people get the blessings of this program, but because of the work that they put in, because of the hard work that you've put in on a daily basis. So, Scotty, what keeps you strong?
I think it's so funny that you brought Brannigan. You're Brannigan's boss. I brought Scotty. I'm Scotty's boss. So, like, you know, we're just, you know, you guys cannot, you know what I mean? We got you got no wrong answers in here because he was
fired.
Yeah, because
you were like, I don't know if this is right. This is just a little opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're all just
but it's great. Like,
throwing around stuff.
Yeah, everything that you just said about Brannigan, it's like I've literally seen him walk through the same process.
I remember when Scotty came in, you were so excited.
So excited.
You were like, Scotty,
a little backstory, people out there don't know, like, Scotty and I used together. Like, Scotty is literally brought, NorCam, he brought me back to life a couple times. Like, it's wild to be in this process with somebody that was I was so close to back in my using days. It's crazy. But then to see how far we've both evolved and came and are genuinely happy today,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Instead of that misery back then, you know what I mean? It's just wild.
Yeah. Really, I want to know Scotty's answer to that. What keeps you strong?
Having things to look forward to.
Yeah.
Like, is my biggest thing. Like, on the 24th of this month, I go for a visitation hearing for my son. So, like, that's right now my biggest motivation.
Yeah.
How old's your son?
He'll be 10, August 24th.
When was the last time you seen him?
6 years ago.
Wow. That's exciting.
And even if something happens and I don't get visitation right away, like, I'm not going to stop trying.
Right.
I'm not going to let it deter me, you know what I mean, just because of how far I came, and I feel like anything's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Scotty, why do we always hurt the ones we love when all they are trying to do is help us better our lives?
You answered that question like 2 minutes ago.
Well,
I want you to answer it.
Yeah, I want you to answer it.
Because when I'm caught up in my addiction, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
But getting the next one.
I think it's important to, like, though, that people know that. Because, like, family members, I feel like, struggle with that portion of it so much.
Yeah, especially my aunt. Like,
yeah,
my aunt helped me. Like, I feel horrible for it. Like, my aunt helped me kill myself for, like, 5 years because she made a promise to my mom before my mom passed away that she would take care of me. So she was just watching me kill myself slowly.
Yeah. They don't know, like, the line of, like, enabling and trying to, like, help, you know? Some people just don't know that line. So it's, like, and it's tough, too.
Yeah. Oh, here's a, I'm going to shoot this one at Brandon. So Steph Varga commented on here, why do we lie so bad? Do you think we are really that stupid to believe the lies? This is coming from the other side.
I've told some myself.
Yeah.
Some crazy stuff. I don't think I thought people were stupid to believe the lies, but I just was incapable of telling the truth. So I wasn't worried about whether or not they believed what I was saying, just as long as they didn't find out, like, what the truth was.
Yeah.
That was all, you know, that I cared about.
And the second end of that, did you believe your own lies?
I still do.
Come on now, Granny.
Wow. Come on. Tell yourself.
Yep.
Wow.
I think I can fix everybody, and
yeah.
I'm messed up myself.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really comes from, too, that, like, if you can't control your own disease, why you think you can control someone else's? And that goes for, like, family members, too. You can't control somebody else's disease. And I wanted to share, too, that I think it's important for... Because, you know, recovery is also, like, a family thing.
Oh, for sure.
So I feel like there are programs available that family members can get involved in because they get just as sick as the addict.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They go through everything right along with you, and you're their drug. Right. You know, and when you need help, and when you need this, and when you need that, they're, like, right there, and their life becomes unmanageable, too. And there's programs, Nar-Anon, Al-Anon, all of those things. There's other things. There's counseling. There's just plenty of things that I feel like it's so important to go there. So, like what Scotty said, so that you're not an enabler. You know what I mean? The last thing you want to be is an enabler. So I did want to bring that up.
And again, guys, the number is 330-595-1600. We got the 3-digit code. Please call in. We'd love to hear from you. We got, I'm having people text me questions, but.
I'm trying to read through some of them because there's so many on here.
Scotty, I got one for you. What can I do to understand you better as a non-addict talking to an addict?
Didn't I ask you not to ask me no questions?
Go on. Think about it, breathe. What can I do to understand you better?
Follow me for a day.
Ooh. Oh. What will they see in that day?
Right.
I mean, what I do differently. I work at a treatment facility. I'm around recovering addicts all day, every day. I go to meetings when I can.
Yeah.
it's kind of hard working second shift, but at least I'm around some type of recovery every day, which I know being around recovery doesn't equal recovery, but...
I think they were asking, Sam was asking this, what can I do to understand that, like, in your active addiction, what could I do to understand the actively using addict better? Don't pick up. Go ahead, what?
I mean, I don't know.
What's your answer to that question,
Nathan? Yeah.
My answer? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, throw it back on me. What could you do to understand the addict better? Wow. Wasn't planning on that one. I would, honestly, it's hard to understand something that's they don't even understand. You know what I mean? So there really isn't an answer for that because I know in my active addiction, I still don't understand why I did what I did when I did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was chasing the next one and all that stuff, but I can't tell you why I, you know, broke into people's houses and was sleeping in a graveyard and doing these different wild things. You know what I mean? I know it was because I was homeless, and I know it was because, you know, I eventually got cut off from everybody. But I really don't have an answer for that. It's, you know, what would you say to that,
Allison? I think that that's true. Trying to understand the addict is like, listen, we don't even have logic behind it.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it was, when I think back to it, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe that was my life. So for someone else to understand that when, like you said, I don't even grasp it.
Right.
The only thing that I do know is when I put the first one in, I'm powerless. So the switch is on. There is no stopping me. Doesn't matter about self-will. Doesn't matter how much I love someone or, you know what I mean? All that's out the window. So to try and understand it is just like, is nonsense. I mean, there is no understanding it other than knowing, okay, listen, this person is now going to be dangerous. They're going to be a harmful member of society. Mm-hmm. You need to back up. There should be caution tape, red alarms. Don't let them on your property. You know what I mean? Don't give them money. There's really nothing else to understand other than that, I feel like. So I seen this on here, and I think this is a good question. And there's debates about stuff like this. So, Brandy.
I hope it's the one I'm thinking of.
Knowing what happens to people that do it, why would you even do it in the first place?
Oh, damn. Darn. Well, I was young when I was using. I didn't think I'd get addicted. Yeah. It was fun. I think, like, before I started using, like, seeing people who were, like, strung out, I just thought that, like that was just who they were as people. And mm-hmm. I knew that I was, like, a happy, bubbly, sociable person. And, like, I just wanted to party. I'm young, whatever. So I think, like, you know, after being in prison, coming back out of there, knowing what it was going to do, I was like that, like Allie was talking earlier, I'm only going to use on this one day.
Yeah.
Then, like, every day turned into Sunday, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, because it's the disease, like, mm-hmm. you know, cunning, powerful, baffling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think people don't realize that, like, nobody sat there and was like, yo.
Right.
I cannot wait to be a junkie.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, hurt everyone I love. And, like, abandon my children and be homeless. Like, nobody sat there and was like, when I grow up, that's what I want to be. Mm-hmm. You know what yeah. I mean? And, like she said, when you saw them people, even us as addicts, you knew you wasn't going to turn into that. Right. You just yeah. knew you was different.
Right.
But, like, that's not reality for the addict because when you put the first one in you, then that's it.
Yeah.
So, and until you start doing that, you don't know. So, like, you didn't know when, you know, when we talk about gateway drugs and stuff like that, when you started smoking, you didn't know that you were going to be like, dude, let me bump this up a notch. Let me turn this up a notch.
Yeah.
Let me just get hype on Saturday. And then Saturday turned into Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Mm-hmm. And now you're binging this and that. And then all of a sudden, at some point, the party stops and it's a full-time job.
Right.
And you cross that line and, like, I say this all the time. I don't know when the line got crossed, but it got crossed.
Right.
And once it got crossed, there was no going back over the line. There is no walking back and saying, never mind. I don't want to be an addict, so I'm just going to be, you know, we're not talking about sociably using or social using, we're talking about full-blown addiction,
right?
And none of us knew in the beginning that we had. If somebody would have told me, maybe my choices would have been different, but nobody knew. So, like, you know, it's just the same thing as everybody that I was with, that we were all partying, they didn't continue to party. I just continued to party,
right?
You know,
I thought in my own brain that I was better than everybody. I will never turn into them.
Oh yeah,
like, you know what I mean? I'm too. Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm not human or something, because I'm never going to look like them. I'm never going to do that. And then, you know what I mean? I'm never going to shoot up. I'm never going to do this. And then all of a sudden, all those I'm never going to do, I was that. And then I'm sitting there in total disgust and didn't want to feel anything at that point. So it was just like, man, I'm stuck.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. stuck. Life was a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
Here's a good one. When two people are fresh in recovery, do you think it's wise for a relationship for them together?
Scotty.
Come on, Scotty. You're engaged. How's that going for you?
I mean, it's probably not wise, but everybody does it.
I mean, we all have our foot in our mouth in this one.
Yeah, facts.
Now, I like how the panel was very quiet. Yeah. I was like, who's that question going to go to? Who will that go to? So, what do you think of that, Brian?
Y'all don't want my answer.
Yes, we do.
We sure do.
I don't think it's wise to be in a relationship at all.
At all?
Ever.
Ever.
Stay Never. Out. Stay, she says stay out the relationship.
Not the ones I get into.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway. Come on.
All right.
What do you think, husband?
I mean, honestly, for me, I can't. I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys one thing and then I'm going to do a complete opposite. You know what I mean? I met my wife in very early recovery. And the biggest thing with me was, if you're going to find somebody in early recovery, find someone that you want to be like. I wanted to be like her. You know what I mean? Like, I met her. I was like, man, that's what I want to be like. I want that positivity. I want that clean time. I want what she's got. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They say hang around people that have things that you want and you'll eventually obtain them. You know what I mean? So I just went ahead and married her. You know what I mean? And look.
Best decision you ever made.
That's it.
Thanks, husband.
There's no denying that. So, I mean, honestly, you talk about, it says in the question, it says two people in early recovery. I don't condone too early, like, if I got 30 days and Scotty got 30 days and, you know, we swing that way and we're going to date each other. Like, listen, like, I don't think that's wise, because whenever it comes to, you know, me bouncing a question off him, like, about anything, I'm not going to get the answer I need.
Right.
Yeah, because I think it's hard, too, if you're in a relationship and, you know, and we've experienced this, and you're with someone and then they're using. And if you don't have any clean time to back that up, chances are you're going to start getting high together.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm, like, just saying from, like, early on experiences, like, from, you know, not my first time around, not my second time around, whatever. But I feel like that is why we even say stuff like that. Because then the two of you become each other's support group, but there's really no foundation, like you talked about earlier, to stand on. So now when you're like, I want to get high, I'm like, I've been thinking about it all day, and now we're like, we'll just do it today and then we'll stop. Okay. And it's like disease feeding off disease. Mm-hmm. My disease feeds off of your disease. So now we got two diseased that people got the residue still on us and we're together and we're the support group because we don't need to call nobody else because we have each other. And then the next thing we know, like, we're getting high.
Right.
So I think that that's why we say that. And even though it is true that I got with my husband in his early recovery, if he would have wanted to get high, I would have told him I ain't getting high.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I had my own support group and my own foundation and stuff, which is, too, like how we say, keep your stuff separate. Like, I don't say things to him like, what step did you work today? Or what spiritual principle is that? We just try to keep it separate.
She does catch me off guard sometimes. You know, I'll maybe get an attitude in the morning, and she's like, that's not very godlike. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, oh! But,
I love you, husband. Bye.
Right, bye. Yeah, and I say bye.
And then you'll call me and apologize.
Yeah. Anyway. It takes a while. So we talk about relationships and early recovery. You know, Scott, you got over a year now, and you're in a relationship. You're moved in with... And you guys engaged, right?
No.
You guys are promise ring.
So you're not engaged? I thought you were. I really thought that. I don't know why.
They're, Well, you got a promise ring, right? So, like, you guys are, like, pretty
my
much
husband
promising
is now putting him on the spot to become engaged. Yes.
So,
Lainey, you're welcome.
Lainey, shout out to Lainey. Great girl. So how was that for you, like, dealing with, like, living with someone else?
And you just moved.
And
so now you're out
Alliance.
Of, yeah,
you're out
of your,
you're 50 minutes away. You're 50 minutes away. How is that going for you in your, you're not early on recovery, but in your first year?
Good.
Yeah.
Real good.
Real good.
Real good.
All right, it's the only comment. It's awesome. Congrats on that.
I'm going to go with...
Spot, dude.
We're going to take the spotlight off.
Yeah, he's turning right under the couch.
Yeah, we should be able to, like, tone all the lights down and should just spotlight right there. And then, you know what I mean? That's what we should start doing. Hot seat. That's
the hot seat.
And it should be like, dun, 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 dun. All right, so, Brannigan, in order for true freedom, do you have to believe in something greater than yourself?
Ooh. Absolutely.
Yes.
What do you believe in?
Multiple things greater than myself. I believe in the program. I believe in my sponsor. I believe in God. Some days I believe in myself, too. Anybody ahead of me with more time than me is like a hope shot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys think that if you had the opportunity to do it all over again, and be an addict or not be an addict, would you? What would you do?
Scotty.
I don't know if I can answer that question. That's like, you can't change God's will.
But well, if you could,
if I could do life over again, there's things that I would change and there's things that
I
wouldn't change.
Well, we're just talking about addiction.
Would you choose not to be an addict? If you had a genie and we're sitting there and Jasmine from Aladdin sitting next to you saying,
sing
rub
it,
my
husband.
Genie bottle.
How's Jasmine's song go? Sing
no,
it.
You would choose not to be an addict.
No, I'm saying I wouldn't choose, or I wouldn't change anything.
That's awesome.
Husband, sing a whole new world.
A whole new world. A wondrous place. Go ahead. we got a caller. Hold up.
See, you get time to think
Mike
about
check.
It.
Hey, caller, how you doing? What do you got for us today?
Hey, y'all, it's Lex.
Hey, babe.
What's up, Lex?
So I have a question, not for anybody specific, but at what point did y'all feel like if you thought about using that you had too much to lose?
Ooh.
Like, because, you know, in the beginning, like, you really ain't got nothing yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really don't have no relationships or a job or anything. So at what point did y'all feel like, if I pick up, I got way too much to give up?
Cool.
Well, that's a great question.
That's a good question. We'll get your numbers for the code after we answer it.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to go first, Scotty?
Sure. I mean, probably around... after I got my job and started getting vehicles and working on getting visitation rights of my son, like it's absolutely not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back now.
Yeah. What did you say, husband?
Oh, man. Probably after I met my wife, I knew for 100% fact if I was to pick up, I would lose what I found. And I was like, I'm never going to use again. You know what I mean? That was probably
he's so sweet, Amy.
Mm-hmm. And that's literally the best answer I can come to that. Because I was like,
right.
I was tempted in the halfway house and all that stuff when I was locked up in CC and all that. And trust me, it was there. I thought about it, but it was like how I would lose everything I have so far. And I only had a pair of sweatpants and you. So it was like legit, I knew I couldn't at that point.
Yeah. Brian?
Go ahead.
I think that for me, because I had done it so many times that my thought process was, I'm too old for this, and I know I don't have another one in me.
Yeah.
So if I go back out, like, that's it. And I just wanted better, and I just was so sick of it. You know, like, when you're just, like, totally bottom out, and you're just sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, I don't want to ever do that no more. I just really don't. And, like, that was it, you know? I didn't have anything. So I didn't have anything to still lose, but, like, I didn't want that. And I was working on building up a relationship with my son again and all those things, and I just didn't want to, like, start over again. Like, somebody asked that question. I just didn't want to do that no more. I was just so sick of it because every single time I kept being back in the same process and being in the same process. And I remember thinking, if I'd have just did this 5 years ago, right. I'd have been, you know what I mean? I'd have been so much further. So,
right.
Bran?
I think, so I have a little stepson. His name's Caleb. And he was
shout out!
Little Caleb. But he was little and we hung out a lot, like my first year. And there were a few times, like I said, when I was pregnant, I thought about it. And I knew that, like, I wouldn't see him anymore if I didn't. And then having my kid, you know, there was literally no turning back at that point. Like,
Yeah.
Now, Lex, are you still on?
Lex, yeah. Give us that three-digit
code. Give us your three-digit code. Let's see if you win the 700 in the AirPod Pros.
456.
Ooh. I
was thinking. Sorry, Lex. Thank you for calling. That was a great question.
Thank you, Lex. Love you, boo.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. So, do you think, Bran, that you found your purpose?
Yeah.
What is it?
To be a mother to my child. To have some peace in my life, you know. I mean, I'm happy with what I got. My little kid, my little house, my little cat.
Yeah. Cheeto. Shout out to Cheeto. She got a Mancoon. The little cat's like going to be this big, but that's fine. Do you, boo. Scotty, what about you?
Do I feel like I found my purpose? I mean, I'm happy with where I'm at, but I want to be a lot further off in life.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
I want to get my CDCA and continue working in recovery, but I got things holding me back right now, so I just want to keep climbing the ladder.
Yeah. I think it's cool how people in recovery always want to work with addicts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's like passion. It's like, because I know you, and I want to help you. So I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Were you going to stick with my husband?
No, We have another question, and my twin brother asks this question for Scotty. How is dieting once you're in recovery and you gain all the weight? How is that for you?
It was good until I quit.
I'm sorry. I had to ask that. It was a twin brother thing. All right. But yeah, we do deal
got
with
all
that.
The questions,
he does. So we do deal with that issue.
Well, I mean, yeah, because we're addicts and yeah. we don't eat for 10 years. So right. Then we come in and we're like, I know with this one at work. She's, where are we going for lunch? Can we eat lunch? Can we have lunch?
My watch is telling you to stand up. So.
Yeah.
So, but we do. That is true. We deal with that. Like, it's a, you know, we have to find, like, healthy balance and healthy eating habits. And when we come in here, because when you first come in and your body, like, holds on to fat.
Yeah.
Because you don't give it stuff for so long that it's afraid you might starve it again.
Yeah.
So, like, people, you know, put that on too.
Mine's still holding on.
And then some of us get addicted. some of us get addicted to like the gym and working out and stuff. So it could be, you know, addicts are extreme. It's like all in, all out,
right. Whatever
it is. So, and it could be food, it could be the gym, it could be, you know, healthy, not healthy, whatever.
Yeah.
It could be shopping on Amazon. I mean,
yeah, come on. 5 packages a day, y'all, to my door get delivered for this
and
one.
And that's
right
all stuff we
for
need.
For this one. And I have to go to the UPS to return half of it. So
no, you've returned 2 items for me. Thank you.
Don't lie.
The 2 items. Thank you.
The rest of them she doesn't even open.
I'm
but anyway.
Getting there. But anyways.
Is Jeremiah still watching?
Yes, he is.
When I was on my diet, though, I beat you on that 21-day challenge.
Yeah. When are we going to do another 21-day challenge there, Scotty?
I don't know.
Yeah. You gotta visualize it.
Oh, come back into the keto plug.
Yeah.
We'll get you back in. We have a 21-day challenge going on right now.
Oh,
so you
promote.
Well, I'm just saying you missed it.
Keto plug.
You missed it. So let's talk about, real quick, balance in life with recovery, with work, being a mom, being a stepdad, being a new relationship, old relationships, just life in general. How do you balance it all?
I don't.
Yeah.
I just go with the flow one day at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I pick up no matter what.
There we go.
No matter what.
That's key.
I don't know what balance is. I have a hard time standing up.
You know what? How do you balance it, husband? Because I know our
things
schedules
get
be
hectic. But it's crazy because, like I start every week out new. Like, every week I'm like, okay, this is what I have to do. And then when I get through that week, you know, my Sundays are like Sunday nights, leave me alone. I'm relaxing. I have to unwind. But, like, I prepare myself mentally for on Sundays, this is what I got all week. And I look at it and I'm like, all right, let's go. You know, and I put it's like a mission. And I want to accomplish it. I want to get all this stuff done. I want to be the best dad. I want to be the best husband. I want to do all these different things. And come Sunday night, I may not be the best dad because I'm laying on the couch doing nothing. I may not be the best husband because I have to take that me time. Mm. I have to. And that's important going through recovery is, you know, we could really put ourselves out to so many different islands out there and put our hands in so many different things and get overwhelmed. We have to make sure we have that us time, that you time. You really do. Otherwise, you can extend yourself way too much. You get too stressed out and, you know, it just becomes too hectic and you can't deal with life on life's terms when it's that turmoil.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think has been the biggest blessing that recovery's offered you this far in your journey? Brian?
The biggest one?
Yeah.
Just this far.
I mean, that's a hard one. The biggest one?
Okay, you
the
can biggest get, one, you've like got number a couple. One. You
had
give a
one,
couple?
Two, three, first place.
You have
place.
So many, you need to give more than one?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Go ahead, come on.
Do it.
Top three.
Help someone that's struggling.
I think a purpose is like my biggest one.
Yeah.
And then my kid and my job.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that's a good point because for so long you just feel like you are nothing. There is nothing to life and there's nothing to live for. Mm-hmm. So, Scotty, what would you say so far?
Just being able to, I don't know. Looking forward to, because, like, I haven't went to the custody hearing yet, or the visitation hearing yet, but, like, that's, like, my main goal and drive right now is being able to see my son again.
Yeah.
And you got the hearing. So, like, that's a big, you were talking about that for so long.
And I always say, too, like, how long did it take you to lose all that, and how long have you been removed from that? So it could take just as long to get that back.
Yeah.
Because as addicts, we want everything, like, this quick, so, and it doesn't happen. And then for closing, Frank had asked, which I think is a really important question.
And I got that. Go ahead, ask the question.
Where can an addict go for help, or how do they get checked in?
You can call on Jed Hill. No, listen. So listen, I do work at a recovery center. I am plugged in with pretty much every treatment facility in the Mahoning Valley, even Trumbull County. You could call me at 330-935-2663. That's my work cell, and I can connect you, guy or girl. I can get you in a facility. I can hook you up with insurances. I can do that step. Again, that's 330-935-2663. Call me. I will definitely answer. If you get sent the voicemail, leave a voicemail. I will call you back.
Because it's important to get checked in somewhere.
Yes.
So there's one resource to reach out to. You can reach out to drug and alcohol.
Yes.
You can call a rehab facility on your own, but just call somebody and go somewhere.
Yeah.
Because people are dying.
Inpatient, outpatient, it doesn't matter. Just call.
Yeah, for sure. And so, believe it or not,
we are out of time.
That's all the time we have.
Thank you so much, Scotty, for coming in. I really appreciate Brandon.
Scotty, Brandy, thank you.
Really appreciate you guys. Again, we will be on
The third Tuesday
of this month. We'll do another panel back here. I love this. This is
we like our little cozy.
Thank
this
you,
is
everyone.
Recovery and chill.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, that tuned into our show tonight. We really appreciate you. Love you all. And we do recover.
Hey.
Thank God.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.